Jewish Woman, Oral History 2. This is Tape 3, Side 5. Would you please give me your name, Mr. Berman, your full name?
Sam.
I'm just testing this. Go ahead.
My name is Sam.
Right. All right, now, Mr. Berman, I'm going to ask you to tell us a little more about your social life. I know you're affiliated with organizations, but if you can just give me a few stories of important people that you met, lectures or whatever you think would be interesting.
Well, the first thing that we could tell you, then Golda Meir was in our house.
All right.
She came here for a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go back to New York and late at night. So we just moved in the house. We weren't even fixed up yet. So we invited them all over the house. And I think we had about 40, 50 people, you know. And my wife had a fridge there. Everything was there. Don't think we were short as bagels and rolls. Mm-hmm. So I stopped in the bakery and I picked it up. And we had a wonderful time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This was the biggest one. Then we had a lot of other people, you know, were active in the labor Zionist movement. And a lot of the people came here representing the Eastern route and talking about the, you know, the role in our house. You know, we were always active, you know.
Gandhi.
Huh? Yeah, we had three or four generals who participated in the liberation of Israel. And a fellow by the name Gandhi, you may be read about it, his name is Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
He was here in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, Saturday, Meir Amit, which is an important general in Israel, is going to have lunch with our son in Philadelphia, and they're both the best of friends.
And how do you spell his name?
Meir Amit.
M-A-M-A-M-I-T.
Yeah. Oh, he's very, very important man.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it? So your son is as active in organizations as you are in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Could you tell us more about Mr. Gandhi's visit?
Yes.
They called him Gandhi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was well known. He was even now he's an important man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know that they were here in all group just for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But they were here, I don't remember why. But we invited them over the house.
So he was here at your house. Did you do any speaking? Did you speak at any groups, any organizations?
We went to Israel the first time in 1962.
One.
He came back and I gave him a speech the way I felt about Israel.
Uh-huh.
I was always dreaming to go there.
Who did you speak in front of?
For our group, you know, we had a lot of people. We had about 50, 60 members in the Zionist
group. In the Zionist group.
We had other people, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you spoke quite often,
I told
too,
them
as far
my
as
my impressions and everything else. But we had a wonderful time in Israel. I think I told you, I met my teacher, Tat Meagle, I met him there.
Yes, you did.
And I met some of my boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, by any chance, did you ever write a book since you've had so many interesting stories?
I had to give up the books to learn how to drive nails. You understand what I mean? You know, to write books. You know, I know a lot of people, they think they could write, you know, and they can't even read. I'll show you a bunch of books from some people who wrote them, you know, because they couldn't do nothing else if they wrote books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not worth it to be. We have good books too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a hell of a lot of books. You know, people came here, tried to write, and everybody had something to say.
Well, it sounds like you had a very, very, very interesting life. Now, which synagogue are you affiliated with now?
I used to, when we lived on Lilac Street, we belong in the
Young
People Synagogue in the Hebrew Institute.
And are you very active?
Not
in the synagogue itself.
I got enough other obligations.
I Would you like to ask Mr. Berman anything in particular?
Well, if you were to look back over your wonderfully rich life, what was one of your proudest moments?
I don't know what to be proud of first.
Other than your children, I'm sure you're very proud of.
Listen, I want you to know.
Children.
Let me read it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. But was there anything?
See, this is natural. I'll tell you something.
Yes.
I'm not bragging about it. We've got wonderful children, you know, Zion and my daughter. They're all by themselves, you know.
And they all did
and
well.
My son was 3, 4, 5 years old, and he told him something. He says, myself. And he's myself till today. And I am proud of it.
But anything other than your children, and I know you're very active in the Zionist group, the Zionist movement and so forth, but is there any one thing in particular that you think stands out, that you feel that you accomplished, that you're proud of?
You know, I am a member of the Hebrew Free Loan of Israel, mm-hmm. which is 100 years old,
uh-huh.
one of the finest Jewish institutions in Pittsburgh. And a friend of mine by the name of Sam Kelby says to me, I want you to become a member of the Hebrew Free Loan. I say, Sam, I just have a job as a butler, and I have to be there 7:30 every morning. I can't take it. It's no excuse, he says. We need you there. He says, all right. I come around there to a meeting and ready to enlist. So tell me, no, you can't get in. You have to wait another year, because Mr. Steinbach, who was one of the old members there, is leaving for California, and he wants his son in his place. So you have to wait till there'll be an opening for next year. So I'll wait. So I got there. I've been there 42 years.
So the Hebrew Free Loan is really very important to you.
Very important. Mm-hmm. And I made myself important to you.
Mm-hmm.
I changed a lot of things there. I mean, the way I felt, I spoke up, you know.
So in other words, between the labor Zionist movement and the free loan, Hebrew free loan,
yeah.
they're two of your most important
Jewish national bonds.
Yeah.
Jewish national bonds, the bonds, and all. I've done a lot of things.
So you're very active in a lot of different Jewish organizations.
Mostly what has to do with Israel.
With Israel.
Now let me tell you something. You know, Israel has a lot of functions in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is going to represent the labor Zionists. They created a lot of institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So came here a man, they took him out from a kibbutz. His name was Dickenstein. Dickenstein.
Mm-hmm.
A big man.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him to the United States to create an organization like the United States had for NSF. How did they call it? The American organization who was creating ammunition and everything in the war. I forgot the name. Anyhow, send him in and he should try to get some means they should be able to buy ammunition and everything else here, and want to make a special campaign for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in a kibbutz, and he was a very fine man, Mr. Dickerson. He comes to Pittsburgh. He's trying to get somebody to go out with him to solicit. So we just finished our campaign, you know, the Gewerkschaften campaign, you know, for the Istadut campaign. So he goes to see Mr. Walter Berg, and Mr. Walter Berg had a bunch of stores, Army Navy stores, and he was a busy man. He says, I can't give you the time no more. I give him, for this I can't even talk to you. Couldn't even talk to the man. He had a lawyer by the name Sam Cruz, who was a great personality in the city of Pittsburgh, a very fine man. He goes into Sam Cruz, and he opens up the door. He says, I can't talk to you. I just finished this good campaign, and I can't give you the time. I have to prepare for the man who was going to be the governor. He was working for the governor. What was his name?
Duff.
Duff. Governor Duff of Pennsylvania. I says, I have to prepare everything for the Duff speech. I can't even talk to you. Wouldn't even let him in the so stew. I get a call from him. He wants to see me. I says, I'm busy and I can't do it. He says, please do me a favor, Lena, at least talk to somebody in Pittsburgh. I says, all right, meet me in Kepler's Festival. I go in and Kepler's Festival and he comes around there. We have lunch and he tells me I'm ashamed to go back to New York and not to be able to sell one share for the Empire, for the Power Sand Trading Corporation. How can I do that? I says, I'm sorry, I really can't give you the time because, you know, I was a contract with a couple men and I thought I couldn't do it. But he was talking to me, I says, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do, which let's see what we can. So I go across the street from the restaurant. It was Signer and Coker who sell dresses. Signer was that big, and Coker was bigger, no?
No, Coker was little.
Coker was the little one, and he's counting dresses, he, to ship it. I go up with him and I says, Mr. Coker, I want you to listen to this man. He came around, I didn't even know how to explain what he wants. Listen to him. He says, I can't even talk to him. He says, this order has to go out because the man comes in and I have to load, I can't talk. So he says to him, but if this man says it's all right, come in for 100 shares, $500. So $500, I figured that time the Jewish business were on Fifth Avenue, 3-4 blocks, all the wholesalers, and there were all the companies and everything. So I walked across the street to somebody else, you know, and we sold them another 500, and there was a company who was selling wholesale food, you know, Kenter's Molly, smoked with fish and everything else. Kenter was a yeshiva bucher who came to this country and he married a girl because her father was in the fish business, so he got in the fish business, but he was a high intelligent man. So we got in there, and Mr. Kenter talks to me, and Mr. Dickinson turns around and talks to Mr. Smallwood, which he was a plain man, came from a small town, and he was the man who knew how to smoke the fish. And he talks to him. She says, all right. I says, I'll buy from you 500 shares. I'm in one end and he's on the other end, and he says to me, Hamishom yours, Hamishom yours. I got $500, you know. He says, Hamishom your shares. 500 shares, so you still nearly paid it. So I started the campaign with them in Pittsburgh, with the Empire. Now, if you know the Empire, what they do now in Israel, you have an idea. They have in the oil business and everything else. But I started up with them in Pittsburgh. So I forgot about my job, I forgot everything, and I ran around with them.
That's interesting.
Did you say that you were doing work at that point with the governor of Pennsylvania?
No. You mentioned the governor somewhere.
Duff? What was the name?
Duff.
Duff.
Yes. What were you doing with him? Can you tell us more about that?
And he was
he
was running for governor.
Oh,
Mr. Foose was making up the speeches for him.
But his name was Duff.
Duff.
D-U-F-F.
Yeah.
And he was running for governor.
Yeah.
And you were campaigning? You were helping him? No.
Mr. Foose, you know, was a peculiar man. He came here at a young age. He went to school, you know, in the Arab way, and he was a very Arab man. He was writing the speeches for him and everything. Huh? What?
What we were trying to find out, we thought that you were working with this man that was running for governor.
No, I didn't.
You just mentioned
him. No, I just went what's his name, Dickenstein, to try to start the Empire, to start the Palestine Trading Corporation.
Mr.
Foose was representing Duff. He was a lawyer.
Oh, all right. He was the attorney for this Mr.
Yeah.
Duff. There, you just about mentioned everything that I can think of, and you've had a very, very interesting life. And I thank you very much. If there's anything else that you would like to tell us that you think is interesting.
Before I forget, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
Sam Foose was a very peculiar individual, you know. Mm-hmm. He didn't smoke, and he couldn't, he sent somebody else to smoke and everything else. So we had about 10, 12 couples, what we would produce the root for the label signs and everything. So we used to get together every Saturday night in somebody else's house, you know, schmoozing and everything else, in making lectures and everything else. Kmart next. Mm-hmm. So I says to my wife, we're going to invite him over to us. Let's make him a surprise. Let's make my mama ligge. I play, you know, the mama ligge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My wife says, I'm mama ligge. I says, we'll see. It'll be a big success. So I talked to him and he invited him over to us. So, who's sees a mama ligge? He had a, right here, we had a piano, and in the front of the piano was a chair. Mm. So he says, he, since he's in America, he says he didn't need it yet. He came here as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
So we give him a plate and he filled it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down in here and he couldn't talk, nobody could talk to him. Then we got the plate back, we didn't have to wash it.
It was empty.
Mm-hmm.
This was the start. Mm-hmm. Then later on, all of them bonded us. We had to focus more leggings on his supply.
It's interesting.
When
did you and your wife get married? What year?
Then we got married?
Yes.
The same time as she got married. She remembers very, very, very
maybe she can remember.
31.
What?
1931.
And also, would you give me your full name, your
Rose,
maiden name
Rose,
before you married?
Rose Verman. Before I was married?
Yes, your maiden name.
It's K-O-S.
K-L?
S-N-I-T-E-R. And I was born at the same time by the same name. My great-grandfather said it was on some part of
the born in a village.
Same. And this didn't have anything else to add.
Of the same name. And where was that town?
In Ukraine.
In the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
One last question for Mr. Verman.
Huh?
Do you have any regrets?
Regrets for what?
For you, anything in your lifetime that you'd like to go back and do differently, maybe?
Let me tell you something. I was fortunate. Then I was very little time all by myself. I always had a partner. I had one partner for 50, 60 years, you know. We got along very nice. Then I got in partnership with one of the richest Jews. And these were a very successful businessman, a real estate man. And I was the one who built the shopping center with him, and I had to work with architects and everything else. I managed somehow, got along. It wasn't all easy, but I managed. I mean, if I had to go through that again, maybe I would eliminate some things, but as less as I knew, it wasn't too bad.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, both you and Mrs. Burns.
This is what I...